You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week saw reports that many high school students in low decile schools are leaving school early to work to support their families who've been financially burdened by COVID-19. This seems to be affecting communities with significant Māori and Pacifica populations, such as South Auckland. Currently, 23% of New Zealand children live in low-income households, with 148,000 experiencing material hardship, such as going without six or more essentials for a decent standard of living, which includes adequate food, warm clothing, and appropriate shoes. So to discuss this more, I spoke to Greg Pierce from Aorere College, and I began by asking him to briefly explain what we've seen happen in high schools in terms of attendance since the first lockdown.
For example, in the group of the AIM High Schools, of which there are nine, decile one and two schools in South Auckland, the average attendance rate varied between 50% and 90%. And I'd say on average was in that 70% range.
So since the last lockdown, we've had reports of students in low decile schools having to drop out to financially support families that have been burdened by COVID-19. But in what other ways does COVID-19 disproportionately affect low-income families, particularly members of Aotearoa's Māori and Pacifica community?
I think one that can't be overstated is the overcrowding scenario with a lot of our students and their whānau and ainga in their households. I heard somewhere the other day that 48% of County's Manukau households are deemed to be overcrowded. So the problem we have as principals is that we can ensure students are getting devices, which the Ministry of Education is following through on, which is great to see, and will set the schools and the students up well for the future. But we can't guarantee that those devices are going to be used in an appropriate learning space. For example, shared bedroom, no desk, other things going on in the house, etc. And some of those other aspects going on are people coming and going to and from work, including the students, whenever possible.
So this inequality isn't just because of COVID-19, but rather COVID-19 has revealed the inequalities that were already there. What factors have led up to this discrepancy in terms of learning?
Yeah, I think you're right. The COVID-19 has exposed those inequities which the vast majority of people would have been aware of, but it has certainly brought it to the fore, where some schools and some students are receiving lessons online with their own personal device and their own personal learning area, and it's just about business as usual, apart from that face-to-face teacher contact, which we all know is so essential for all students. The problem is that the inequity has grown in regards to the housing crisis over the last decade, 15 years, in Auckland in particular. And I think combine that with the growing skills required in the modern day workforce, which a lot of generations of immigrants may not have kept up to pace with those qualifications required in the modern workforce. Those jobs are disappearing, and therefore more members of households who are struggling in socioeconomic terms are forced to work. I mean they feel compelled to work to provide for the family. And students are being asked to make that hard decision. Do I focus on my studies and keep up to date with my schoolwork, or if I can get another shift at Burger King or McDonald's, for example, or the supermarket, should I do that instead so the family will be better off in the short term?
What effects can leaving high school early have on well-being and also financial opportunities in the future?
Yeah, I mean, there are a large number of research and studies which show that the less qualified you are on leaving school, the less chance you have of getting a fulfilling and well-paid job in the employment market. And these skills that students need when they leave school and either go into tertiary study or employment, it's essential that now that people learn continuously within their field of employment. That never used to be the case. So all the time students need to be equipped with those skills and competencies they need in the modern world, but they need to keep on developing those once they leave school.
Outside of COVID-19, is it common to see high schoolers dropping out early to help their families if they're going through a period of financial stress?
I would say, again, speaking on behalf of the AIM High Schools, who are probably disproportionately affected by this crisis for those reasons we've talked about, we've seen this pattern, and we discuss it a lot as a group of principals over the last 5 to 10 years. And we've seen this become more of a pattern. And frustratingly, we see very able academic Year 13 students who, for financial reasons and for family reasons, leave school at the end of Year 13, intending to work for a short time before they endeavour to study at tertiary level, and sometimes they never get to that next level because of the immediate circumstances and needs of their family and the community.
What are the intergenerational outcomes of predominantly low-income children leaving school early? Like, what do you see the long-term effects of high schoolers in predominantly Māori and Pacifica communities having to drop out of high school early being?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a really fine line here because, you know, we have seen increasing numbers of Māori and Pacifica students go on to tertiary education and within the last decade or so. So that's really, really positive. But we've also seen, for those families where that is not becoming a pattern, it's becoming more and more difficult to ensure that that can become an aspiration or can become a reality. So unfortunately, the less it happens, the higher the probability of intergenerational low achievement occurring. And conversely, the opposite, the more it happens, you get that positive flow-on effect, and the more you get members of that family in a generational sense aspiring to those qualifications.
Does this have an effect on schools themselves when we're seeing students drop out slightly earlier due to COVID-19 now?
Well, the reality is that schools are funded on a student role scenario, both in terms of staffing and other funding needing in terms of infrastructure to keep the school progressing forward. So that does have a flow-on effect. If students are leaving in greater numbers, schools are receiving less funding in order to produce those outcomes they need to for students. So again, that can become a slippery slope as well. I mean, fortunately, a number of our schools have increased role growth because of the population growth in the areas that we serve and the communities that we serve. But it does not help our continuity and consistency of our teaching and learning programs when students may be dropping out in greater numbers throughout the school year as a result of COVID-19, which we are starting to see.
Do you think that the government in its COVID-19 response sufficiently considered how COVID-19 hits lower income families disproportionately?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it's an incredibly complex scenario in terms for the government to provide for the families in that situation. But I think going back to the earlier point that we referred to, I think people were aware that housing had become unaffordable in Auckland in certain communities, were aware of the overcrowding in households. So what I'm getting at is saying that these problems have been steadily deteriorating, and as a group of principals, we deal with these day in, day out, week in, week out. So I think it's, if anything, the positive aspect of COVID-19 is the need to address these issues as a society. Because again, for New Zealand, Aotearoa moving forward, Māori and Pacific are among the fastest growing populations ethnically within the country. And if those communities which they are predominantly living in are facing these issues, not only is it not going to be a good outcome for those individuals and families themselves, but also for ourselves as a country moving forward.
What solutions do you think are necessary to ensure this pattern of children in low-income families having to drop out early doesn't continue?
It has been mentioned before about the possibility of subsidies being paid to more mature students. For example, I think we could see increased numbers of students in Year 13 this year returning to school next year, particularly in Term 1, to complete qualifications that they wouldn't have had time to finish this year. And the same goes for Level 2 Year 12 students who might not have thought of coming back, who do need to come back to finish their qualifications. So I think a really practical aspect would be if a mini subsidy could be paid to those students and their families if they return to school to complete qualifications that they struggled to complete the previous year due to COVID-19. And again, this could happen again next year. As we all know, this is looking like it is going to be with us in the foreseeable future.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B-card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.